Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. Really looking forward to sharing today's interview with all of you listeners. Now, many of you may remember about a month ago, I had the chance to travel to the boys' 16s and 18s national championships in Kalamazoo. Not only was it an exceptional opportunity for me to get to see so many of the top juniors in the country compete in one location, but I also had the chance to chat with so many college coaches who, of course, all descend upon Kalamazoo to do a little bit of recruiting. Now, hopefully you've already heard the conversations we had at Kalamazoo. I got the chance to speak with Texas A&M's Steve Denton, Baylor Michael Woodson, Michigan State's Harry Jaden, Arizona's Clancy Shields. I also had one more conversation that we've been saving until now because I had the chance to see this coach's team compete last weekend at the Knoxville Showdown. And I have to say, I think this coach's team, this program, is one of the most fascinating programs, a case study here in 2022 for all of us college tennis fans. And that, of course, is the Columbia men's tennis team. And of course, our guest today is Columbia men's tennis head coach Howard Endelman. Now, you know, I have to say just right off the bat, I'm a big fan of Howie's, and just having the chance to hang out with him this weekend, having the chance to hang out with him in Kalamazoo, you can understand why this Columbia men's tennis program just seems destined for success over these next 5-10 seasons. And of course, you look at their past 5-10 seasons, they've been one of the breakthrough programs of the 2010s, just continuous success at the national indoor event, and they're a team that's constantly in that top 15, top 20 discussion, winning multiple Ivy League championships. But of course, you look at their recruiting classes, top five recruiting classes in each of the past two seasons, and yet, despite all of that, there's a lot unknown about this Columbia team because we didn't get the chance to see them compete in 2021. Unfortunately, the Ivy League electing not to participate in athletics in at Columbia specifically. They didn't even have students on campus. So entering this 2021-22 season, there are eight players on the Columbia roster who are either first or second year players who have never played a match in the Columbia uniform, have never lined up in the Columbia powder blue. So of course, it was fascinating to talk to Coach Endelman about all of those things. What goes on over the past year and a half when you're not able to compete, not able to practice? How do you keep the team together? What developments can we expect on Columbia's campus moving forward? It is a fascinating conversation that I know all of you listeners are going to enjoy. And again, I will say, on a personal note, I'm a fan of Howie's. I think all of you listeners are going to enjoy him as well. Of course, before we get to that conversation, just a quick reminder, you missed anything from the 2021 U.S. Open. You can catch up on it all on our website, crackedrackets.com. Recaps of the men's and women's events on the Mini Break podcast feed with Gil Gross and David Kane, respectively. If you want to hear my thoughts on my takeaways from the Knoxville Showdown, head on over to our Great Shot podcast feed where I break all of that down. And of course, we got to speak with some players on site in Knoxville as well. Alex Kotzen, Austin Huang, Emil Hudd, Mark Wallner. You're going to be able to hear those over the next few weeks here on this Cracked Interviews podcast. So be on the lookout for all of that content. But with that in mind, let's get into it. Here is my conversation with Columbia men's tennis head coach, Howie Endelman.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Joining us now live at the USTA Boys 16s and 18s National Championships here in Kalamazoo, a first-time guest on our Cracked Interviews podcast, but a guest I don't want to say I've been actively chasing down, because if I was, I'm sure he would have come on the show, but it's been a long time coming. It is Columbia men's tennis head coach Howard Endelman. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Alex, thanks. It's great to be here. You guys do an incredible job with our sport, college tennis. And I heard you were giving me a little grief yesterday when I got caught in the rain. the rain, so my brother Rob in New York City listens to every show.
Oh, that's very
nice. So he was all over me last night. He goes, "You guys got caught in the rain." But thanks for everything that you guys do. And I know we've seen each other over the years at indoors and NCAAs, and it's a privilege to be on the show.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. My ego was already healthy, but trust me, it's feeling even better now. But of course, again, let's get right into it, because Columbia men's tennis has been a program on the rise, certainly. And you look at the 2010s, they've been the team in the Ivy League. And the place I want to start this conversation, it's a conversation, you know, unfortunately, we haven't had the chance to have yet. And so thankfully, we look towards this 21-22 season. You guys are going to be back. But you look at where we left things off with Columbia men's tennis. You guys had the first doubles team in program history to win the ITA All-American. You guys had gone 2-1 at the National Indoors the past three seasons, including that 2020 season.
Yes.
Then COVID hits. You're not able to finish the year. You're not able to play in 2021. Knowing the talent you have on your roster, and we'll get to that, how frustrating was that for you, particularly so early in your coaching tenure?
Sure. Well, you know, I had the opportunity to come back. Mm-hmm. I played for Coach Bid Goswami,
of course,
one of the legends of our sport, and a wonderful gentleman. I was in his first recruiting class in 1983 at Columbia, and I had the privilege to come back and work with him in 2010, and we worked together until 2019. And you're right, that was my first year, and the guys were really doing well. You mentioned Jack Lynn, Jackie Tang, these guys who went on to become all Americans.
Rosie Wang, oh, I know the guys. Good group. Victor Pham.
Oh gosh, love these guys. Some of the legends of Columbia tennis. And I know that Timmy Wang, his dad is coming. We're gonna have dinner tomorrow night in Kalamazoo. He's driving from Novi.
That's awesome.
But these are really special people. And yeah, we had it going pretty well. We had gone to play kickoff down at Knoxville, my buddy's place, Chris Woodruff, and we got through Oklahoma State and Tennessee there. And then, like you said, in indoors, we had Florida taught us a lesson there, and then we came back and played really, really well against South Carolina and Baylor, and we were going. And when COVID hit, you know, our region, I don't know if it got hit a little bit earlier than everywhere else. And I remember we were at practice. We were leaving the next morning to go play the University of Texas down in Austin. I got a call from our athletic director, Peter Pilling, who does a great job for us. And he just said, presidents of the league are shutting it down. And here we are, I guess, almost 18 months later.
Yeah, no, seriously. And I can't even imagine what you're going through, because, all right, I'll say it. I think that was your best roster. Like, of all the teams you had, and we were talking about it before we started, the Winston Lynn team that had Virginia on the ropes in 2015, of all of those teams, certainly on paper, that 2020 team, it was the combination of talent and experience. It's that Jack and Jackie and Adam and, you know, all and all of the players, especially, you know, it just felt like they had been there before and that they looked so comfortable at the National Indoors. And, you know, sometimes there's a stigma attached to an Ivy League school because it's not athletic scholarships, and you guys are all literally student athletes. The student comes first for a reason. And yet you guys were killing it. As you mentioned, you're beating Tennessee, you're beating all of that. I suppose before we get into this team, how exciting it is, was it frustrating you at all? I'm sure it was more about personally just not being able to get rocking and rolling, or just for the players to not be able to give Jack and Jackie the send-offs they deserve.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. We felt these guys had done so much for the program. And as you mentioned, Jack Lynn, I mean, gosh, the guy's a 3.8 in pre-med.
Yeah.
Two-time All-American.
It's crazy.
In tennis, right?
Yeah.
And I remember we were getting ready to go down, and we were going to play Texas and TCU and Baylor, great teams. We were getting ready to go. And, you know, I remember calling the guys in right after our AD, Peter, called us. And I was like, it didn't feel like it would be that long.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of felt like, and a lot of the guys said it, they, they said to me, I remember one of our guys, Rian Pandoli's good kid, and Austin Wong, and he's just like, we just thought you were going to tell us we're not going to play spring break.
Yeah.
Everybody thought we'd be done for 1 week.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, the COVID just kept escalating, and then all the sports were shut down for...
And the Ivy Leagues were first, if memory serves me
correct.
That's
right. That's right. The Ivy presidents made a relatively early decision.
And, it's like they're smarter than everyone else or something.
No, I don't think that. I just think, for whatever reason, they just said, okay, we're going to shut it down for the rest of the year. But I can't think of one person who would say that we would not have been back last September.
Yeah.
Right? We were ready to go. Say, okay, after summer, things will kind of, we'll get things going again. But you're right, Alex. It was very tough for those guys. A guy like Jack Lynn, yeah, he only got to play 2.5 years, and all the guys you mentioned, Ambrosi, what a great kid. What a great kid. Incredible energy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We just saw him. We just had dinner with Coach Bonfiglio, Rich Bonfiglio, our assistant. We just had dinner with Ambrosi and Del Reyes, and came over from St. Pete. Great. Yeah, these are real, real solid, good guys who have made the program what it is.
Absolutely, and I want to talk about where the program's at now, and yeah. I know there are listeners who are like, Alex, you're 6 minutes in and you haven't brought up the thing we want you to bring up. But remember, there are NCAA rules, so even if there was a hypothetical junior slam champion out there worth discussing, we couldn't today. So unfortunately, we'll put that on the back burner. It's an excuse to have you back in 2023. That's what I tell myself. Okay. But you know, that's on the back burner for now. I do want to talk about your team because, again,
yeah.
2020 – top 10 in the country, I want to say. After you go to Tennessee, you win, you go 2-1 at the National Indoors. Yeah, you're 7th in the country. First of all, shout out to you for knowing that fact. That's why I always love working with the best. But, you know, again, Columbia Tennis is in a very good place. You were telling, you know, the numbers 48-2 over your last 50 Ivy League matches. But even beyond that, you've beaten Baylor 3 years indoors in a row. And you've beaten top 10 programs in the country after a year of no competition. How do you get the guys going from the way to where you're not missing a step, you're not missing a beat, you can pick up where you left it?
Yeah, that's a – I think you hit on probably our biggest challenge right there.
Yeah.
We have 8 guys coming in, 2 classes, who have never been on campus.
It's crazy.
And one of the classes, the rising sophomores –
were they remote all season?
Yeah, the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't have one class in person.
It's crazy.
For 18 months.
My little brother, the reason I bring it up, goes to Penn. Name drop there. Obviously, yeah. I'm the least talented Gruskin you're learning. But because they were in person second semester.
Right,
but
right.
So Columbia, no in person all
no
year long.
No in person the whole time. So we have guys who, you know, they took their recruiting trip.
Okay.
Our rising sophomores, you know, nobody's been at school at all. Austin's coming back. Mm-hmm. Alex Kotzen, who had a really great freshman year until it stopped in March, but he had done great. He'd won against Tennessee and Oklahoma State. He had some terrific wins indoors also. And so, yeah, when we come back, it's almost like a brand new team. And I think one of the biggest opportunities for us is to just continue that culture of what it's all about, and, you know, playing for something. You're an individual, but you're playing for something that's much bigger than yourself. And you know, Victor Pham, you see all these guys.
Of course.
You know, these guys are all in New York, and a lot of them, our matches are like it's spectators, and most of these guys are alums.
Yeah,
and they just love it so. I think kind of reinstilling that culture, and you know, Coach Rich has done an incredible job. We haven't been able to see anybody in person. We had one guy, great kid, Henry Ruger, who would come around from Philadelphia starting in March. We could hit with him at least, but everybody else has been on the road playing tournaments.
I mean, yeah.
Kotzen is doing great.
Killing it.
He's out there playing futures every week somewhere. Tunisia, all over Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe. So we're really, really excited about the opportunity to just get back on the court and get going and continue to do everything we can to build this culture that Coach Bid, you know, built before, and hopefully we can do a decent job of keeping it going.
And I want to talk about that, but after 2 years of Zoom, which team member are you like, I will never Zoom with you again. I've had my fill. I don't need to ever see you on the Zoom.
Yeah, I'm not going to say
But is there an answer? You can think of a player?
No.
Is it Rich?
Well, that's different. Because Rich and I live 10 blocks from each other in Manhattan, so it's about a half a mile. We're always going for these long walks in Central Park trying to figure stuff out. I mean, trying to coach these guys virtually, I mean, it's a different... Thankfully, our guys have the mindset of, even though we're not competing in our conference and nationally right now, we're still going to go out there and we're going to compete in tournaments. Mm-hmm. We've had guys, Ishan, Ravi Chandra, we've had guys all over the place just playing. Rocco Horvat is a real good guy from Zagreb, Croatia. And so these guys were in school, but they didn't go through the whole system. So we are so excited to get it going in a few weeks.
Absolutely. And again, is this your third year, technically speaking? Third year as the helm of club?
Let's see. Coach Bid retired in the summer of 19.
So second.
So I started in September of 19.
Yeah, so 19, 20, 20, 21, 21. Yeah. Yeah, there's Columbia math for you. Smart. Now that's my Michigan education, public school. So third year at the helm for you. And as you mentioned, you were one of Bid's opening recruits. We were talking, of course, of former coach Bid of the Columbia men's tennis team, and I believe two Ivy League titles during your time there.
Man, they were pretty good. 84 and 87.
Yeah, 84 and 87. Those were down years in the Ivy League. We all remember those times. But no, of course, for you guys,
too good.
Again, the success you have had of late, and you know what Bid meant. You played for Bid. You know the culture's like. You know what the program. At the same time, you're not... Anyone who tries to duplicate the success of another, you're destined to fail because there's only one Bid. And so for you coming into this program, again, third year, only one year of coaching, new faces, how have you established, again, first 3 years, the recruiting classes, because as you mentioned, top four the last 3 years, I want to say, or last 2 years. Yeah. What's working in Columbia that you can say, trust me, come to this program, even though you didn't see us play last year? What about the culture is so appealing right now?
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Well, we've had, I was really lucky to get Rich Bonfiglio to come on as an assistant from San Diego. He and Ryan Keckley are doing a great job out there together. And Rich is from New York. Mm-hmm. So he came back and he's done an absolutely outstanding job just recruiting and keeping the interest, even though we're not playing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a tribute to the guys that we've had and what they've been able to accomplish over the years, both on the court and in the classroom, such that, I mean, our guys, you mentioned Timmy Wang, Victor Pham, those guys had the highest grade point average of all 31 sports at Columbia.
Yeah.
And they're also playing a pretty good
game. They're losing like six times in their career.
Yeah, so these are special guys, and thankfully... I think some families have looked at it and said, "Hey, this is these guys are doing some good things and helping young people develop and use tennis as a vehicle to hopefully develop some of the character and life skills to allow them to be successful for the rest of their lives and happy for the rest of their lives."
And again, Tim Wang, someone we've referred to, a friend of mine growing up, he went the non-tennis route, but there are guys out there like a Max Schnur, Winston Lin, who went and played pro tennis and have had success. And I'm curious for you, is it easy to make the pitch that two, because the recruits you're competing with for and getting are players who could legitimately harbor pro aspirations,
who could legitimately
say, we want to go pro. How do you sell them? Because when you're at Columbia, you're a student first, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be easier to fail academically than it is probably athletically for these kids at an institution like Columbia. I'm not asking you to give away the full pitch, I suppose, because I know people listen, but how do you convince that parent that, say, has a kid who wins... I'm not even going to get to the hypotheticals. How do you convince that parent who knows their kid has pro aspirations you can get the best of both worlds at Columbia?
That's a great question. And look, we want to be around people who are very, very ambitious.
Yes.
Very ambitious, high-achieving... and guys who want to be the best they can possibly be in everything. Mm-hmm. And we've always thought that just because you want to be great in one thing doesn't mean you can't be the best you can be in something else. And the way it's kind of worked with some of the guys we've had is when they've done well on the tennis court, they've also done well in school. Mm-hmm. When they've done well in school, they've also done well on the tennis court. You develop certain habits, principles, values, ways of doing things that are transferable to everything.
Yeah.
And sure, you're gonna be there, and you're gonna develop time management skills and discipline and structure. But we've always felt that there's a lot of guys out there. There's a lot of tennis players who could fit. You know, if we have the opportunity to speak with them, and you know, we'll hopefully get some visits going. They had the dead period for so long,
exactly.
The entire NCAA. But we've always felt that the right people are out there, and tennis becomes such a mental sport. You know, you break points, especially in the college tennis with no ed, scoring, and there's pressure on these guys. There's nowhere to hide, and we've always believed that the mental preparedness from knowing that you could succeed academically and in tennis just helps you in those pressure moments. I remember you mentioned, we were talking before, Sean Hadavi, he's starting at Columbia Medical School in September.
Bravo.
You know, he got to like, he started on our team at like 10 or 11 on the team. He was a high school soccer player. First national he ever played was here.
Yeah.
Reached the round of 16. You know, we've always felt like if somebody has something inside that they want to be,
it's an intangible thing.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And you know, we have certain things that you can do in tennis at Columbia and in our league that you probably can't do in other sports. Mm-hmm. Like we have a strength coach, Tommy Sheehan, who used to travel on the ATP tour with Mahesh Bhupathi.
Yeah.
Right, who was number one in the world with Leander in doubles.
Doubles, right? Yeah.
And Sheehan used to travel the summers.
Yeah.
With Mahesh. He's our strength coach, just with us in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like that.
That's awesome.
And he's come to all our matches and this and that. So he knows exactly what's going on out there, and we are training these guys to be ready for the pro tour. And you mentioned Schnurr, you mentioned Winston, a lot of these guys who we've mentioned. These guys have big aspirations to see how great they can be, and they want to be around other people with big goals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, let's see how great we can get at tennis. And then whenever tennis is over, you know, you can have a 10 or 12 or 15-year career on the ATP Tour. The average age in the ATP Tour is in the top 100 is like over 28 now.
Yeah, it's like 28.6.
Yeah, there you go.
Crazy.
There you go. So
sorry, I looked it up the other day.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's not like when you know, Courier and Agassi and those guys were old. So 28 years old. So these guys can have an incredible 10-year career on the ATP Tour and still be 30, 31 years old.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
32 years old. And it's like, okay, so now have we used tennis? And have you learned the skills and the principles to be able to be successful? And as long as you stay healthy, I mean, these guys are going to have 40, 50, 60 more years.
Yeah.
After that, and are you ready? You mentioned Timmy. Are you ready to go whenever tennis is done for you? And that's what it is. And we've been fortunate to have enough families who have, you know, bought into that.
Yeah. No. And again, it certainly helps that you have a Max Schnurr who can hit a serve 130 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Winstons can play. I feel like I'm asking you a lot about the intangible stuff. I'm not trying to slight the tennis ability any of these players. Because, again, all of these names, I can pop them off in my head. And, you know, we were talking about a little bit before, that 2015 match against Virginia. You play that match 100 times. Is that the best outcome, the one you guys had? Or do you think you could have knocked them out? Like, do you play that match again, you could have beaten
them? It's funny. I was talking to Dustin Taylor the other day. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for him. You know, ended up back in Oklahoma.
Of course.
Oklahoma State. Wonderful, wonderful guy. And he's like, man, you know, we were on the same court. We were on the court with Hadavi was playing J.C. Aragone, and Schnurr was playing Ty Sung, Kwiatkowski, and we were, like, right there.
That was the match. When Ty won that breaker against Schnurr, it felt like that was the tilt.
Yeah, you remember. I mean, you think of that match. I mean, Virginia was better than us. They won the national title. But we were there, and they beat us in the dubs. But, you know, like you said earlier, Alex, Shane Winston lost to Shane. Shane was better, but he sprained his ankle in that match. Yeah. You know, we're up at number two, a set and a break. Ashok Narayana was up 5-3, 40-love on Altamirano. Vermeer was up a set and a break up on Richard.
Yeah.
Hadavi was, I want to say 6-2, what? I think it might be 6-2, 5-4. Against Aragoni.
You're there.
Yeah, like DT was like, man, you guys should have won. I don't know if we should have won, but I think it kind of proved to our guys that, yeah, we're coming from the Ivy League. And like you said, people might say that these guys can't really play, but I think it at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I bring it up, because at that felt like an inflection point.
Exactly. That's a great word for it.
Yeah, and where it's just like that, even in a non-win round of 16 match, 4-2 or whatever it was, it felt legitimizing. And I know since then, I think you've made
it
national
indoors. It just took off.
Yeah, I want to say round of 16 every year.
Five of the last six. 4 of the last 6 NCAA Sweet 16.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's right. That's a really good way to put it. That was an inflection point, and the guys, because these guys weren't blue chips.
Exactly.
Winston wasn't a blue chip. You mentioned Schnur was not a blue chip. The guy played Mandro Wimbledon 2017 in dubs, right? Top 100 in the world. Ashok was not a blue chip. Hadavi was a high school soccer player.
Yeah.
Right? So then we start to say, well, wait a second, man. What happens if we can get guys who might be a little more experienced, a little better before they come in? Yeah. And then we put them in the system with Coach Sheehan and a culture that's focused on development and improvement. That's all we care. Development, improvement in everything. What's possible? And I know you're talking about Mike before. I saw him just earlier about those Baylor matches. I was like, yeah, man, we're going to go out there and we're going to compete as hard as we can. And these are all good teams in our league, outside our league, and we'll do everything we can to make sure we're prepared for those matches.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you throwing one of my best friends growing up, Max Fliegner, one of those Ivy League shares the title as well.
What a match he played.
Yeah, exactly.
And what a great kid.
And I brag on his behalf for it, just so you know. So
he played. What a great match. Pressure match he won there.
No, absolutely. And, again, all of this is to say it should be a really exciting season for Columbia. Super excited to get just Ivy League tennis back. And correct me if I'm wrong, 5 teams in the top 50, was it 20? 25? 5 in the top 25, I want to say, before the pandemic hit.
And
it was
pandemic.
Like a first time, right?
You know what it is? The rankings, that must be right around the time when it switches to computer,
exactly,
right?
When you start getting 6 wins, 7 wins,
exactly. So they're not, the denominator is pretty low still.
But it speaks to Ivy League tennis on the rise. Look at the recruiting rankings over the past 5 years.
Yeah.
The best kids are going to Ivies.
Yeah, well, why not?
Yeah.
You know? Huh? Why not? It's a good place, and why not? I mean, that's how we see it.
Yeah,
that's how we see it. Let's see. We're gonna do everything we can to work as hard as we can to go after it. I think that's exactly right.
Absolutely.
I didn't even realize that when COVID.
Five in the top 24, top 30, or something for the first time in Ivy League history.
Yeah.
Whereas you guys, I know Dartmouth was in there. I want to say Princeton, Harvard, and one other. Whomever it was.
You got a lot of good, players.
A lot of
really good coaches.
Yeah.
You have a lot of coaches from all over the country, all over the world, and it's gotten very, very competitive. It's so much different when I started back in 2010 with Coach Bid. I want to say there was like maybe one Ivy team in the top 75. Does that sound right?
That sounds exactly right. Yeah, absolutely.
10, 11 years ago. And now, like you said, there's a lot of teams battling and going out there and, playing a national schedule.
Yes. Which you do. And I think that's worth mentioning.
That's one of the biggest things is over time. It takes a long time. To get these schools to put you on their schedule and to play home and homes.
Yeah, and I don't mean to cut you. There's the ECAC, is that what it's called or something? There's some sort of championship.
Yeah.
But you guys play the indoors.
Yeah,
you guys always make – then I feel like that – not to say that's it, because there are a lot of other good schools.
Yep.
But that other Ivies aren't doing that. Other Ivies are playing that weekend. You're going to play the kickoff.
Right,
I feel
right.
like that even that in itself, playing the kickoff, is a jump.
Yeah, yeah, we've been fortunate to have our, and we're really glad to be back there again this year. We've been fortunate to either host.
Yeah,
I remember Vic. Vic won an incredible match when we hosted. We were fortunate to beat Stanford. Vic won 7-6 in the third. Remember that?
Of course.
In the last round of the kickoff. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we've hosted, we've gone, we like that event. It's like, okay, if we can be ready for that, and we've been fortunate, like you said, to get through five of the last six years, and get to national indoor. But it takes a long time to get on the schedules of some of these teams. You really have to prove it the way, like, as you know better than me, right? The way the points work.
Yeah.
And
I don't know about better, for the record.
It's the same.
We'll say
same.
Equally, yeah.
As you know, the same. Yeah. You know, as the points work, to get on somebody's schedule, who's a perennial top 10 team, you got to prove it. Mm-hmm. And then to get home and homes with these guys.
Yeah.
So we've been able, like you said, I think we've been able to establish ourselves at a certain ranking level historically, certainly over the last probably 6 or 7 years, where now we feel like, man, we got, not only is the Ivy's really strong, but we're playing a true national schedule.
Absolutely.
And home and homes with these teams. And, you know, one of the best things, we're building a new facility now.
Yeah.
You know, we've never had outdoor courts.
And now they're roofside outdoor courts.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing. You know...
and for the record, COVID. For listeners, 6 indoors, 6 outdoors being built, done by 2020...
Fall of 22.
Oh.
Okay, so we're about...
I'm putting it in my calendar, just so you know.
Yeah, Columbia, they did a great job. We did... That was one of the things, when we were not playing in this last year, we did all the design and fundraising for this facility. So now we're going to have... incredible facility on the water in Manhattan, 6 indoor courts, same footprint as we have right now.
Okay.
And then on the roof, 6 outdoor courts. And we're ready to go. So now we can host NCAAs. We intend to host professional events, futures, challengers, stuff like that.
So awesome.
Yeah, we are really, really excited.
Ready to rock and roll. Well, of course, those are, again, I think I speak for all college tennis fans when I say we're so excited to have not only Ivy League tennis back, but Columbia tennis back, because it has been a staple of these last 5 years. Before I let you go, I'm asking every coach about this, and I know you think about these things, so I'm really curious to hear your perspective. And I know transfer portal is a little bit different when it comes to Ivy Leagues, because everyone wants to transfer to an Ivy League. Good luck making that happen. It's just a little bit more difficult to negotiate, facilitate all of these different things. But NIL will apply to Ivy League schools. And these athletes will certainly have the opportunity to market themselves off of their image, profit off of their likeness. It also helps. He's getting a lot of love on this pod. I don't really like you, Tim Wang, just for the record. No, I love him. Yeah, that's my guy. But, you know, Columbia's got donors. They've got donors in the city. They've got young people with cash on hand that they spend. That's not the right word. I'm missing a word. When you have money, you can spend it at a young
disposable
age.
Disposable income.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Again, Michigan, Columbia. There you go.
No.
But they have disposable income.
Yeah.
And they're interested in Columbia tennis. The hypothetical I've posed to other coaches, will college tennis, is the end goal NIL for college tennis to be able to provide a pathway for those outliers, for the players who would like to be grinding on the futures level, on the challengers level, but may just not have the resources at their hands? Do you think NIL will ultimately allow college tennis to facilitate getting those resources to those players and ultimately getting them into college tennis for 1-2 years? You know, your thoughts on, I know there's so much unknown, but how NIL can impact college tennis moving forward?
I absolutely think it will.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see, you know, some of these college football, college basketball, you know, Zion Williams. I don't think you're going to see that in college tennis. But I do think once they have it all figured out for a sport like college tennis, right, once the institution, the conference, the governing bodies, ITA, NCAA, once everybody has it figured out, I think there'll be tremendous opportunities for these student athletes to be, I guess, marketing themselves, for lack of a better name. But, it, you know, to be able to graduate from school, finish school, and instead of saying, okay, now I have to teach 6 months of lessons to pay to go play on the futures, I think there's, I think we're going to collectively figure out a way, especially in a place like New York City.
Exactly. Right? That's where, what Columbia it yeah, is. That, in, like it's were, in the city.
Exactly. Like you were mentioning before we started. Like, I absolutely believe, is it going to start, you know, 1 month from now? Yeah. I don't know. But eventually, I think there's going to be tremendous opportunity for tennis players to put themselves in a position where when they're ready to go out on the tour, they're going to have some money, and they're going to have people behind them, and I absolutely think that, that will happen. I think this will be a net positive. I, you know, the big time, college football, that's different, and they'll figure that out. But I think there's going to be great opportunity in college tennis. We've spoken about it internally in the department. Our AD does an incredible job of just trying to figure out, okay, how does this work for us in our location? Given our base of support, like you said, I mean, that's a big thing. And all these guys are here.
Yeah.
These guys are here coming to the matches. And I think, yes, it will have an absolutely positive impact on college tennis, so that guys can go out there and say, okay, I am ready to go. And why not me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Just like that's the attitude. Like, why not me? I'm ready to go. I've done the work. I've put in the miles, and I'm ready to go out there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, again, Coach, it was not the same last season covering college tennis without the Ivy Leagues. It felt like there was just a huge missing gap, particularly at the national indoors. You're always going to get a Columbia appearance. You're just there's that added spice. And then it was funny looking at the kickoff draft this past year. They threw you what? You guys were like the 46th pick?
Like 60. They just put us in.
Yeah, at the end, right? You guys were the last pick or whatever.
Yeah, they just said, we're going to let you play because of your historical results.
Yeah.
But because you guys didn't play last year and you don't have a ranking, you're going to pick after everybody else. So the irony is,
you're going to Texas, right?
Right, we're going to Texas, and the irony there, Alex, is we were on our way to Austin 18 months ago.
Yeah,
when it got shut down, we were getting on a flight to Austin.
Yeah, it's amazing,
like that. And now we're going back there for kickoff, and we're just really excited.
It's beautiful poetry. Beautiful poetry.
I think so.
In that. And, no, that feels like the perfect place to end. Well, again, Coach, I don't know if I'm ready to call it. I don't think I've earned Howie distinction with you.
On,
I'll just
on,
go, Coach. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat. And sincerely, it's going to be great to have the Lions back in our lives. Appreciate your support of everything we do here at Crack Rackets. Appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
Okay. Alex, you guys do a great job. Thanks for everything you do to grow our sport and promote our sport. And you guys are special. And it's been an honor to be on the show. I've always wondered if you were going to ask me. Well,
no,
thanks.
It was intimidation.
No,
of course. But no,
it's
Coach.
Not that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for everything, and good luck. We'll keep in touch.
Coach Howie, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hope all of you enjoyed my conversation with Columbia men's tennis head coach Howard Endelman. A huge thank you to Coach Howie, Coach Rich, the entire Columbia men's tennis team for putting up with my nonsense all weekend. They were incredibly good to sports, and you know, I sincerely know that the college tennis world is a better place when the Ivy League is participating and competing within it. And I will remind all of you, at the start of the 2020 season, yes, it was early. Yes, the rankings hadn't fully adjusted, but there were five top 25 teams in the Ivy League. The Columbia team leading that pack. I'm expecting good tennis. I'm expecting high-level results, and I think all of us should keep our eyes on the Ivy League, the quality of tennis over the next few seasons, because I do think it has gotten to a tremendous level. I do think a Columbia team can absolutely compete with the best in the best of the best in the nation. And again, you heard what they're doing with their new facility, outdoor courts on the roof of an indoor facility. I'm sold. I'm in. So, you know, again, I thank you to Coach Endelman for sharing those details with us, taking the time to chat while we were in Kalamazoo. As I mentioned at the top, we had a couple of other great conversations while we were down in Knoxville. Chats with Emil Hudd, Mark Waldner of Tennessee, Austin Huang, Alex Kotzen of Columbia. I'm going to get the Kentucky coaches. I'm going to get the Pepperdine coaches on the line as well, because we just haven't had the chance to speak with them yet. And that's an error that needs to be rectified. So a lot of fun content. And I will tell you all this little nugget. Our college tennis preview content, it's going to start mid-October. We are about 1 month away from diving into the 2021-2022 college tennis season. Have a lot of fun things planned for that preview series. Of course, that's going to incorporate Chris Halioris, Matt Stachowiak. Of course, that means as we release our top 10 preseason teams, we are going to attempt to interview each of the head coaches from those top 10 teams. I can't believe I'm saying it, but folks, we're post-Labor Day. It's time to rock and roll. So, of course, this Knoxville showdown, the content coming out of it, I suppose that's like your warm-up. That is, again, let's work out all the kinks. Let's get stretched out. Let's make sure we are good to go, because the college tennis season is almost upon us. But, of course, that's not all we're covering here at Crack Rackets. Challenger Talk every Monday on the GSP, U.S. Open summaries on the Mini Break podcast. Of course, all of that available on our website, crackrackets.com. Like, rate, subscribe, review to this show, the Great Shot Podcast, Mini Break Podcast, everything we're doing here at CR, so that you don't miss any of the action. Of course, if you need the immediate updates, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we are at Cracked Rackets. You want to message me directly, I am at Great Shot Pod. A shout out, as always, to our super producers, Max Fleegner and Daniel Westoff, for the of an editing job they do day in, day out. Shout out as well to our friends at Tennis Point, tennis-point.com. Promo code is CR15. With that in mind, for Columbia men's tennis head coach Howard Endelman, for our super producers Fleegner and Westoff, our friends at Tennis Point, and from all of us here at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You've been listening to another edition of the Cracked Interviews Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you all soon. Thanks, everyone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.